You're listening to the Movie Crew Podcast. Tonight, we talk about Lee Whannell's Wolfman.
You no trouble. Me, fifth element. Supreme being.
You will be a weapon. You will be a minister of death, praying for war. But until that day, you are cute. Sound off like you got a pair.
No, yes, sir!
I was wondering what would break first. Your spirit or your money?
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
God is dead.
Hail Satan.
Satan lives. The year is won.
Fill your hand, you son of a bitch.
The city is headed for a disaster of biblical proportion.
What do you mean, biblical?
What he means is Old Testament,
yes.
Mr. Mayor. Real wrath of God type stuff.
Dead.
Fire and brimstone coming down from the skies. Rivers and seas boiling.
40 years of darkness, earthquakes, volcanoes, the dead rising from the grave.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
Podcast, Movie Crew Podcast, Movie Makers Talking Movies. We're your host. I'm editor Brian Elkins. With me here tonight, cinematographer Jared Callen.
How you doing, Brian?
Jared, I lost a little faith in humanity while I was watching this movie, because when the title credits that were explaining the definition of werewolf lore in this film, the gentleman behind me,
save that.
He screamed out, "This is based on a true story?"
Yeah, it is.
Stop.
Yeah.
Did you have the face of the wolf?
Was the gentleman, like, a young gentleman, like a 20-year-old kid?
No, this was a grown-ass man. Like a 30-year-old fucking man with his date and his mother, or his mother-in-law. I don't know which.
Oh, so he was just being funny. He was being annoying.
Nobody laughed. He didn't laugh. He was being serious. I laughed.
Okay. I mean, at least someone enjoyed it.
Sure. And we also have with us director of photography, Mike Griggs.
Wow, that was the longest intro ever. Hey. We're here. We're all here. How are you?
Don't ask questions if you don't want answers, Jared.
I want you to pronounce the indigenous people way of saying face of the wolf. That's what I want you to do.
Please cut that out. Jesus Christ.
It says Mahengang Ogwangaha.
Holy shit. What the fuck is going on right now?
I'm reading it from the screenshot that I took.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that the lyrics to the Numa Numa song?
Yeah, I had a private screening today, so I just, like, held my phone up and snapped the screen.
And the guy behind me was like, "Oh, look at that! That's from a news article!" All right, we also have with us costume designer Kristen Jones.
Hello.
Hey. And here we are talking about Wolfman, not the Wolfman, but just Wolfman.
Wolfman.
From this year.
Wolfman?
Wolfman? Should be called Wolfmen, because there's multiple Wolfmen, right?
I think we only care about one of them, right? And that's a stretch, so I think that's why. Also, if it was men, it would give away the twist.
It would.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's not much of a twist.
It's, yeah, there's no twist,
yeah,
really.
Is it
you know going in this motherfucker's going to become a wolf man.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you don't know his dad is a wolf man.
Oh, so. The minute he shows up there, yeah, you know exactly,
no,
right?
Yeah.
No, I mean, that's like, okay, all right.
Well, like, why did it take so long for him to become a wolfman? Like, you know, like, 30 fucking years? It took 30 years?
Wait, you're talking about the dad?
The dad.
Well,
you know, for him to actually finally get bit or scratched or like, sneezed on
it didn't take 30 years. There's a little bit of a 2 or 3 sentence exchange where he talks about, like, no, one day he just wandered into the woods and it took them this long to finally declare him dead. So, like, Maybe it was a couple years. Maybe it was 5 or 10 years. It definitely wasn't 30 years, but like, yeah.
Well, there's it says 30 years later.
Well, 30 years later from the time when we saw him as a kid. That doesn't mean that his dad got the bite back then.
Within the last year, 28
well,
years,
I
Mike.
Think,
it took
I
him
think
to find the fucking Wolfman.
Maybe.
It's a decent question, and considering they're going out into the woods regularly, right?
He lives there. He lives where the Wolfman lives.
Yeah, but he's also like going out like with his gun shooting deer where the Wolfman lives. Right? Mm-hmm. So like he could have been. Like I guess it is a valid question of why did it take so long for him to get bitten.
It's because we needed Blake to be able to get old enough to have his own child that he can start, like, you know, really
harassing.
Trying to protect.
Oh,
no, Kristen. Yeah. Protect.
Protect.
You know.
The sins of the
if
father
you don't listen
become
to me,
the sins
you're going
of the
to get hurt. Ugh. That's all I need you to understand.
Did that feel heavy-handed to you?
Fucking shit. Yes.
It was actually so heavy-handed that like I think I'm reading too much into this.
It's
not supposed to be this deep. Like not read into this. But
yes.
They did that.
It's interesting you say that because that's kind of how I felt about it too. I was like, surely this movie isn't trying to just like come out swinging like that and just be so on the nose. Like, okay.
No, but that's what they did.
Wait, are you guys talking about both the relationship? Are you talking about the father and son, or are you talking about the father and the daughter, or both?
Well, both. Obviously he does it when to his own kid later, but
he starts
to realize when he does a little bit. You
that's
know?
Some bullshit.
That first scene where she's like, you know, being a kid and jumps up, and starts walking, she can fall in the street and die.
Yes, thank
you,
Jared.
Fucking listen to me. Yeah, I know that, but I'm saying, but he catches himself. He's like, I don't want to be like that. You
oh
know,
God.
That's not me.
I don't
want to
yell at my kid when they're about ready to commit suicide because they're being a dumbass.
But you scared me.
Yeah, but the fact that he has that whole that should be like an internal conversation or something he has with his wife. That's not a conversation you have with your kid about how you're struggling.
he's just being honest, explaining why I just went off on you there, but also fucking listen
the
to
whole
me.
Time. Okay, and so this was also where I was like, oh, I'm sure they're not going to do this, except they totally did. I was like, is he like actively grooming his little girl to be abused?
Damn. Yeah. Yeah. No.
They totally had the scene at the end with the little girl where she's like, it's okay, I love him. Like, I can save him with my love. And I was like, holy shit, they actually went there with this. And I don't even know if they knew that they were doing that.
Probably not. No.
Yeah,
well,
I thought that
what
was
you didn't
wild.
Is it that, you know, you think that the really cute little thing with the, like, she can read minds thing is a shtick, but she can actually fucking read minds, guys, because it gets all the way down to the end and she looks over at mom. She's like, he's ready for it to be over. Like, she knew at the moment she connected with dad and actually could read his mind through the wolf and know that it was time for mom to put him down.
Yeah, and talk about fucking up your kid's mind by teaching her,
no kidding.
I don't have to communicate with you because you can just read my mind and know that I love you. What the fuck, man? It's kind of cute, like, if this was not, like, a horror movie.
Well, it's cute because parents are supposed to unconditionally love their children, right? Like, you're supposed to accept that.
Sure.
I get movie shorthand with that. Like, I am fine with
all
that.
I think that... No. I think this could be super cute if it was in, like, any other movie. The fact that it was in this movie with these characters, I think, is incredibly negligent on the fact of, like...
Well, there's one thread that they removed from the opening bit, which would help kind of, like, lay all this out a little bit. It is they removed his mother, who apparently had dementia or Alzheimer's. And so, basically, the dad was having to deal with losing his wife in this way and still learning to love her. And he was putting his frustration out on his kid to try to protect him or whatever. And then so basically the family mirrors that later when he's going through a change where he is not himself anymore.
That still doesn't fix the movie for me in any way.
It doesn't fix
it,
but there's like some more theme things that they were.
Maybe. The problem with all this is, and like, I'm okay with like it's sappy, the relationship here, dad and daughter. The problem is that the trauma that we're supposed to have here is it's not traumatic. Nothing is fucking traumatic. When the dad's going out and yelling at his kid, it's like, yeah, well, it's a 10-year-old with a fucking rifle that just ran off in the woods right after he was staring at the fucking woods after he was trying to eat fucking poison mushrooms. What the fuck are we talking about? What fucking trauma? He didn't grab the kid. He didn't abuse the kid. He didn't smack the kid. Like, these parents don't do anything that's abusive. It's like, here, come here, quick, pay attention. And it's like, yeah, because they should be paying attention. Because there's a fucking werewolf outside. And even if it wasn't a fucking werewolf, it'd be a bear. They're in the middle of the fucking goddamn mountains. What are we talking about? This is so fucking stupid. Like, the dad, like, it's like somebody watched The Shining and was like, you know, Jack Nicholson's just, he's a bad guy. He's got a lot of demons. No shit! That's the point. And this guy is such a pussy throughout the movie that, like, all these scenes and everything is supposed to be traumatic, it comes across as, like, this is not in any way, shape, or form. And, like, get the fuck out of here. Every dad, like, anybody that's had a dad has dealt with this shit. Are you fucking serious? What are we talking about? Are we saying the whole world is wolfmen? We're all gonna get bit by this virus and go crazy? What are we talking about? I don't know. I'm just, it makes everything afterwards feel forced and fake to me.
I kind of agree with you, and I think that is why I read a lot of this as, I kind of read it as like emotional abuse, because you're right, nothing traumatic is actually happening. If this was like a proper horror film or not, and this was just like a fun whatever film, and nothing would be out of the ordinary, I don't think. Because in a proper horror film, yeah, you should watch your kid and make sure that your kid's not going to get eaten. And you should generally make sure your kid is not going to die in the middle of New York City. I mean, these things are normal. It's the way that he handles them that shows that he is not like a fully competent adult, and that is kind of what makes it abusive. What happened to him as a kid, from what we saw, I actually thought there was way more going on off screen, because if that's all that we're supposed to judge is his dad being abusive, that's insane. I just don't buy that at all. He's clearly not quite right. And that is what makes him come off as abusive to his little girl, is because there's something He just has demons for no reason. And I think that is really why I said that he was grooming her to be abused later in life. It doesn't matter how much he loves her. He is setting all of this up. And there's no, like, again, when they're being attacked by the werewolf later scream at your kid and tell him to move. This is a life or death situation. That's not abusive. You shouldn't stop and go, let me get control of myself. No, like, you're going to die. And that's, I think the stakes aren't there at all in this. I mean, for the way the movie presents itself, the stakes are not there.
Yeah, they're not.
Yeah. Well, exactly.
You never feel that, like, he's actually going to kill his wife and his daughter, through, even though he is all woofed out, because he's so restrained when he's around them. It's like this one, most of the time when you become a werewolf, you turn off and you just become this vicious creature that is kill, 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 destroy. But this one is, I guess it's got a transitionary period where you still can fight it. Even though I can't communicate verbally, my emotions are keeping me from fucking ripping your head off, because that's my nature as the wolfman, you know?
That's the wolf.
Like, that was bugging me the whole time. I was like, well, it's just so weird. He's right the fuck there, and they're standing there. Like, any other movie, he would have just destroyed them and kept going.
I agree. You know? And especially that moment where he really becomes like the wolf and starts acting like an animal. And his wife is like, okay, honey, let's pack up and go. I would have locked that motherfucker in the room and taken my kid and gotten out of there.
Way before then, Kristen.
Way before then. But at that point, when he's acting like an animal, you're like, oh, okay, we should probably all go. Like, what are you talking about? I thought everyone in this movie was absolutely insane.
Yeah. We've already seen this other one that's chasing us, right? But now my husband's standing against the wall gnawing at his own fucking arm. Yeah. Bitch, get the fuck out of there.
You're done. Bye. Maybe we'll be able to come back. Yeah.
2 hours ago.
Well, there's the werewolf outside too, so that I don't know, that's a good enough reason.
Yeah, and they're in the middle of the mountains with no power grid, like there's no street lights. They didn't actually like drive up the driveway, so she's not 100% sure where to go. Like there's good reasons to stay there, but like kick him out.
Yeah, kick him out.
Yeah.
The biggest thing is that house is pretty protected. It's got bars on all the windows and doors everywhere, except for the fucking up for the damn second floor. And you know that these goddamn wolfmen can fucking climb. Why did Dad only do the fucking bottom floor?
Because he wasn't fucking thinking about werewolves.
He probably got turned halfway through the construction project.
His whole life was thinking about fucking... He called his friend.
Those bars were on the windows when dude was a kid. Like that, those have been there for a long time. Like that's not like a new thing that he recently added to the house. That's why when like they first get there, he goes through and checks. All right, these ones are closed still. These ones are closed still. This one is still barred up. Cool, we're good.
And I didn't really understand what the relationship with the wife and husband, like what their problem was, or if they really even had one.
I can tell. I actually thought. Okay, please. I've got it. Because, again, I could not believe they were doing this. And was this on purpose? I don't think it was.
Oh, I think it was attempted to be.
Oh, my God. So this is a very classic, like, negligent relationship. And, like, if you get into, like, the court system or something, like, you could technically classify this as abuse. But really, it is a man who... they don't like each other. They don't respect each other. He treats her as his mother, and he has a more of an emotional incest relationship with his daughter than he does his wife. And actually, when they sat down outside the court, I thought they were going to get a divorce, but instead she was like, oh, I'm so happy. Let's go to Oregon. And I was like, wait, what? They're not happy. They don't have a relationship. I don't think they've had sex since their daughter was born. He is into, not sexually, I hope to God, but like he has a relationship with his daughter and his wife is there to take care of him. That's what's going on there. I was completely floored at how they portrayed this. This is insane.
She's just so closed off. And then the only thing we get from her is that he has a better relationship with their kid than she does. And that bothers her. And then you also maybe feel that, you know, they both kind of do the same thing, but she's more in the, like the, you know, the business side of it. And she's very successful, but he's just the writer, the stay at home dad. So there's like some miscommunication there, but the whole thing is the movie is going to make it where he becomes, he's the overprotector. And then by the end, you know, she is now taking up the mantle as the one that can, you know, protect her daughter and create this new relationship. That's what they give you. But like all their other shit, it's just flat. She has nothing to fucking work with. All of her fucking, like, she's so reserved. I do like that she doesn't freak out. Like there's these moments where when the monster gets right on her face and she's like very stoic in these scenes.
Okay, so this is why I classified this as possibly emotional, like, abuse, because yeah, she's not allowed to be. Whenever she has a moment, he immediately shuts her down and is like, no, this is about me, actually. They do not have any kind of relationship. I don't think she trusts him. She is not. That's what I'm saying. Like, they don't have, like, a real relationship. And so she is stoic because that's the only way she can be in this relationship. And again, when she says, like, I don't have a relationship with our daughter and it bothers me, he does not care at all, because that's his relationship. And so yeah, he is taking care of her, and again it's presented not that he cares about his daughter now, but he's doing that because he is unemployed and he does feel insecure. And so she is succeeding and he cannot. It is the way it's portrayed. He cannot handle the fact that she is succeeding. And I don't think he enjoys being a stay-at-home dad. I'm going to be very honest with you.
I don't know. In the truck, he does seem like he takes joy in being the stay-at-home dad.
It's because he has a better relationship with his little girl. He does not have a relationship with his wife. It's super weird.
It is weird. I'll give you that. It is very bizarre.
That's why I said this is like emotional incest here. It's just the clinical term for that.
What's strange about all that is that apparently the director,
Lee Winnell,
like really leaned on his wife to write this.
They wrote it together during COVID or some shit.
Horrifying. Yeah. I actually thought that he was going to step up and become more of like a family leader in this, because that's kind of what it seems like he needed, and then his wife could fall in love with him again and he could like actually take that like husband role. But they didn't do that, so
I thought this movie was going to a completely different path. I thought the dad, when he was turned into a werewolf, he was going to kill his father, and then he was going to go super wolf, and then somehow he was going to end up biting his little girl. And it was going to be like, yes, this trauma is constantly getting, yes, passed down the family line. And then
I thought that too.
When it does it in that way, it was just like, I don't understand what the fuck the last 45 minutes of this movie is. With the mom.
I don't know what anything in this movie is. I'm going to be honest.
I'm pretty on board with it until the mom starts becoming the main character that you're following. And then it's just like, now I'm lost. I don't know what the story is.
Yeah. Why do we spend so much time and energy trying to set up that we care about these characters? Which, you know, to their credit, like, I actually did care about these characters because there was enough like emotional things happening. Yes, it was fucked up. And yes, there were like, but there were subtleties, and like the way that they were acting, I was like, okay, you guys have some kind of thing. You're working on some stuff. But like you're saying, Brian, like once the dude starts to get a little bit too far progressed into his wolf state, like the whole movie shifts, and it's like, what? Well, now we don't really know what we're doing, because do we still care about the dad? Because she kind of wants him to be okay. But then like it just doesn't seem like the movie knows where it needs to go.
I don't think it does at all. I halfway wondered if this was just somebody writing it who, like, was trying to work out their, like, therapy issues.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, that's exactly
what it
was.
On screen,
yeah.
But, like, I don't think they resolved anything.
I don't feel like the movie resolved anything. Maybe they did in their process of making it, but...
But, I mean, maybe. Yeah. Yeah, the movie didn't resolve anything. And I also, there was a moment, I did think the little girl was going to get turned. I thought that's what was going to happen to Brian. There was also a moment where I was like, oh my God, what if they turn the mom too? Like, I've never seen like a blonde werewolf. Like, that could be with curly hair. Like, that could be really cool. And that didn't happen either.
The Howling. Blonde werewolf. Anyway.
Sorry, I'm not well versed on my werewolf movies. I think we need to do a month of like female. We have She-Wolf and now The Howling. And what other gems are you holding back?
Ginger Snaps.
Oh, yes. Yeah. You could do at least two of those.
Is that why the little girl in this is named Ginger?
Yes, probably.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The truck, Pierce Moving. That's after Jack Pierce, the makeup artist for The Wolfman. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
There's nice little callbacks. I kept waiting for somebody to be named Wagner. I was like, come on, we got to get that Wolfman director name in there.
See, these are the kinds of things that it feels like the movie spent more time trying to be cute with those sorts of little nods, and less time like working out what is the actual theme of this movie. What are we actually trying to do with these characters?
So did I hear you correctly? The director wrote this with his wife. Is that was said earlier?
Well, even though she's not credited on IMDb, but he did say that
she
worked it out with her. Is she?
Yeah.
Is Corbett?
Yeah, that's his wife.
That's her. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Interesting name.
Well, anyway, I feel like maybe we should go back to writers, because we've had a string of directors writing their own movies that are just terrible. And is there a reason we stop using writers?
Well, he's actually a writer. He got into it.
Anyone can be a writer. Come on.
No.
That was his first
big
movie.
Insidious and all that. Like, he helped create.
Oh, so he can write. This was like...
If you call those other movies writing, I mean, you know.
Fuck you. Yes, we are. All right?
I think Saw had more resolution and...
No, Saw was fucking incredible.
Yeah,
And it even... in that movie, one of the characters cuts his fucking foot off. So same thing happens here.
There was a lot of body horror in this that I was... both impressed and repulsed by.
Yeah.
I liked it, but once I realized they were trying to do like a Fly remake, like David Cronenberg's version, I was so disappointed, because that movie was made in the 80s and is like about 10 times gorier than this, and grosser and more fluidy and everything else.
Okay, well, now that you've said that, not as impressed with the funny
one. Oh, it looks so much like Jeff Goldblum's transformation with the fucking long, nasty hair, and it's kind of like half man. Well, at the beginning, you know, it's face of the wolf. So we don't really go full wolf, you know? It's still a man, but with like wolfy features. So like fucking Jack Nicholson's wolf, but like more fucking gross.
Did they ever go full wolf?
No. They, even at the very end where he's standing there and she shoots him, he's just got his like, you know, he's they had that shot shirtless, you know, you can see all his like muscles and he's all slimy looking and he's, you know, he's got all his wolf teeth now pushed out of all the other ones.
Yeah, even the dad. Yeah, I mean, he was like a hairier version of like Jack Nicholson Wolf, right?
Yeah. It just seems like, you know, we just a little bit, you know, early Deadite, you know, defined cheekbones, you know, kind of thing with like Wolverine fucking mutton chops and fangs. Yeah.
I needed more wolf, less man.
Yeah,
because honestly, yeah. I was just like, he went from being like this sad kind of guy to being like a sad wolf. And you're like, aren't you going to do something with your life?
He's just sad. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, he's just a sad sack. And in this one, it's a disease. It's not like
a curse.
Yeah, like honestly, okay, wait, that makes sense. Because like the whole time, it kind of reminded me of like, the whole kind of idea of like alcoholics and like how you like, yeah, it's a disease. And I was like, I kept thinking the whole time, I was like, I'm reading too much into this. But maybe that's where they were trying to go. But no, I really wanted him to redeem himself. I really thought he was going to redeem himself by the end of the movie, but he didn't. He just stood there sadly.
He redeemed himself by not killing them, Kristen.
Oh my God. He should have tried to kill them. That would have been better.
He killed, you know, he killed his father. He ripped his throat out or whatever. Like when he sort of started finally embracing his inner demon.
I don't think that is him redeeming himself. I don't think, from what we were shown, that his dad was a bad guy necessarily.
No, I got the impression that his dad was just a hard person. Like he clearly has some level of like military background.
Yeah.
Waking the kid up by saying 10 hut, and then you see the perfectly made bed. Like, all right, well, there's some structure in his life that might be a little heavy handed, but like, if this was supposed to be the 80s or the late 70s or whatever the fuck, like, that's not uncommon for that time. Plus, they're living in the middle of nowhere mountains off the grid. Like, there's a lot of like, it makes sense that this dude would take his family out there or his kid and try to be making a life or whatever. So, yeah, some of it might be difficult to deal with and. But not abusive.
Like, yeah, I mean,
maybe
like,
he interpreted it that way because he didn't have a good relationship with his dad. But
yes,
yeah,
I can see him interpreting it that way. And like I was gonna say, like if you're like a very sensitive, artistic soul living in that kind of environment, could again feel abusive to you. I don't know that it necessarily would be, but I can see how that would feel that way. But again, we don't really get that that he's like this. Sensitive, artistic. So I don't know. He's just a sad
person. Kristen. He doesn't even like to hear curse words around his child. Excuse me. Can you take that in the other room? You know.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, see, okay. I thought that had more to do with him. Like, all right, is she gonna be on this call for a long time? Like, are they're trying to have dinner, or like maybe that's just him taking his frustration out of literally finding out his dad was dead in that second of opening the letter, being like. Hey, I need a minute where you're not like chatting like this because I'm processing a bunch of shit, but he's an asshole to her about it in front of their kid.
Like, that was what I really noticed was, yeah, he did just find out this devastating, not devastating, maybe probably, it was probably a relief, but whatever. He just found out very heavy news. Mm-hmm. And instead of taking that time and being like, wow, let me deal with this, he just immediately starts snapping at his wife. And in doing that in front of his daughter also.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't have any sympathy for them.
Dude, in her line, it, you know, kids, if I ever have kids, I won't fight in front of them.
Dude, that was the moment where I was like, oh, God, this is the movie we're watching. Okay, cool.
I hated that little girl's little fucking goddamn lispy fucking deliveries were driving me nuts, man.
It's us, Dad.
I'm a psychic. I can read your mind, Dad. No, it was terrible. I hated it. God.
You love your little girl.
Fucking terrible, shitty kid acting. Oh, I've seen worse. It was pretty bad.
It was bad.
Yeah. Wasn't Babadook bad, but it was bad.
I knew it was going to be bad when, oh my God, when he goes in, when the main character is a little kid and he goes in and his dad's on the radio and then that awful music starts playing. And I was like, oh no, are we watching
it's
this
so
movie?
Bad. It's so fucking bad. Yeah, dude, that was bad choices.
I think on that note, let's watch the trailer.
for Lee Winnell's Wolfman, and we'll be right back.
Ginger, are you okay? Look at me. Look at me. John, are you hurt? Are you hurt? Are you okay? Hey, we gotta get out of this thing. Hey, no, no, no. Don't move. Climb up through the window right there. You can do it. You'll be okay. You okay? We have to leave right now. Run.
Hello? Can anyone hear me? Hello? We were in an accident.
Daddy, are we gonna die?
No. It's my job to protect you.
And we were attacked. I think my husband was infected. Mike. Mike. Mike.
Daddy. Daddy.
What's wrong with Daddy?
He got sick.
What is happening to me?
Can you understand me? You're hearing me. You're scaring me.
Back off!
Leave Daddy's me.
Hurry, Mommy, he's coming. Come on.
All right, we're back. That was a trailer for Lee Winnell's Wolfman. Almost said the Wolfman.
The Wolfman. Can we please retire all car scenes that where cars won't start in horror films?
No, absolutely not. Go fuck yourself. That's great tension device. I love it. No.
How many times have we seen that, though?
I don't give a fuck. I don't care. You know, some devices are still good. Just because the car not starting has been done a million times doesn't mean that some great motherfucker can't come along and do something cool. Dude, like, I promise you, like, every 5 years, there's a cool gag with a car not starting. You know?
You know, but this one, she is really strong because she's carrying that battery around like it's nothing. I love that battery that she picks up like it's nothing. I was like, wow.
It's like a 4 ounce fucking battery, and she's just, like, tossing it around.
Yeah, she's just, like, sliding it off. I was like, wow, that's a really light battery.
She was very determined at that point, you know?
In this fucking trailer, instead of it saying dying on the notepad, it says changing.
Oh, you're right.
What the fuck is that?
They could have had a beautiful relationship.
A different take? They could have had a beautiful... A relationship is changing. I'm learning to love you.
I'm finally learning to love you. 10 years into our relationship.
I'm changing. I can be better, honey.
Yeah, I don't think this trailer even knew what the movie needed to be, because the trailer is jumping around between, like, is it a scary wolf movie? Is it a scary, like, you're someone you know is changing? But, like, they're making the main Wolfman, like the dad Wolfman, and the Blake guy be kind of interchangeable in the trailer, I think is I think it harms it more than it helps it.
Well, you got to make people want to come see it, and then those are all your scary moments, so, you know. It makes sense. It's trailers are always misleading, moving different things around to make it feel like it's in the same scene.
I did like how the trailer again showed that he does not care at all about his wife. Did anyone else halfway through the movie be like, "Wait, does she have a name?" He just calls out Ginger over and over again.
Charlotte. But he always goes for Ginger first.
No,
and
I got
then Charlotte.
Yeah. At one point, he says Charlotte, and I was like, "Oh, that must be the wife."
No. He said in the car thing, which I want to talk about. In the car thing, he goes, Ginger, are you okay? Charlotte, are you hurt? But, like, it's like a beat after, you know, he's definitely going for the kid first. Okay, so this car, this moving van gets stuck in a tree. somehow.
Yeah, because he rolls up the side of a mountain and it flips.
But there's a scene where he jumps off of it, and it's, yeah, like, really close to the ground. And then he's, like, jump down, and he catches the kid, and then Charlotte jumps. And then, but the next time we see it, it's, like, really high in the tree.
Yeah, what at the end of the movie.
That? What the absolute fuck is that? Yeah.
The way I read it at the time, it was that, like, they were jumping off the back of it, like, closer towards, like, this. If you're on a road, and, like, to your right side of the road is a sheer cliff, and that's where the truck went off.
They should have, like, showed that geography a little better, because that,
yeah,
was really,
they didn't really clear, but it seemed more like it was supposed to be the closer you were back to the road towards the end of the vehicle, like, the mountain was just going up right there. But also, oh, like, when they're looking down and you see, like, the passenger dude that rode with, yeah, them, like, that's a pretty flat looking surface. It doesn't really look like it's, like, super steep. So there is,
yeah,
a little bit of geography,
like,
shit.
It at least 15, yeah, feet or more down.
Oh, yeah.
Because of the distance, you know.
Yeah, from
there, but then
there,
he's able to jump off the
amount,
back,
yeah,
of it, and his head is up, like, below the bottom of the thing. He's like, come on, yeah, I'll catch you, you know, like, what?
Jump, so, yeah, down here, I will catch you.
Give me your hand, I will catch you. Yeah,
it's never not funny, Brian.
Anytime you guys can work in Last Action Hero is always a good time for me.
We will do that movie one day, and we will have all the love.
Look, I would much rather that be brought up constantly than Hook, all right? So I approve of this change. I like
You're
the direction
doing
we're
it,
going.
Brian. You're playing with us.
The Wolfman change is good.
And I love how in this trailer they give you things to make you think that there's going to be a wolf transformation. Like you see the close up of the fingers where they actually look a little bit like paws when they go down, and you see the nail pop off, and, you know, the nail grow. You're thinking, oh, we're going to get a fucking wolf transformation, but no, it does not happen. We get the essence of wolf.
Yeah, that's true, because they also show the point of view of the wolf in the trailer, and
yeah, that is
kind
cool.
Of teasing that you're going to get more of that, but you don't really. That's kind of it. What was the point of that?
He wanted, in an interview I listened to, he wanted to show the internal struggle of the Wolfman. And so you having him not be able to realizing that he can't communicate, and that, you know, he can, but he has more heightened, like, awareness
and senses and such.
Yeah.
I thought it was a really, really interesting gag the first time they did it. I was like, oh, holy shit. The fourth or fifth time, I was like, oh my God, we fucking get it. Like, stop doing this slow dolly around. Come on. Just move on. It was just starting to drag the more that they brought it back.
Yeah, the first time they did it, I thought it was really cool, but I thought they were going to do something cool with it, and they didn't.
Yeah.
They just,
yeah,
showed
you show
it.
That he has these powers, but he doesn't use them. He can hear a spider a fucking upstairs banging on a goddamn in a closet, but he doesn't utilize his super hearing. He can see in fucking pitch black, but he doesn't attack like that. He doesn't use his powers. We see that he's, like, all powerful, but he never uses them to, you know.
Yeah, why the fuck is he not, like, walking them away from, like, knowing where the other wolf is or something?
Yeah.
Like, some kind of an attempt like that. Instead, we get that weird barn scene where, like, it's very clearly super, like, clamped down darkness. I was like, holy shit, this movie is not going to play well on streaming when people are trying to watch on their uncalibrated TVs.
Did
and
she
then,
set
like,
that
yeah.
trap?
Oh, she 100% set that trap, yeah. Because they show her, like, reaching for the little chain. They don't show what it is. She just grabs the chain, and it's like, why are we sitting on this for so long? Okay. And then, like, the trap happens, and it's like, oh, okay. Got it.
How does she find that in the pitch black and be able to figure
it
out?
It was sitting
in
a, like, a little pool
of
light.
Yeah, they show, like, yeah, the pools of light and how
I need
all
to
that
see
stuff
that scene again.
Works.
Yeah.
I kind of like that, though. And I don't know. I liked when he is slow stalking in the barn, because that's what an animal would do, right? Like, wolf's not going to immediately come up on you. It's like, I can see in the dark. You can't. You know, I'm going to get up as close as I possibly can, and then I'm going to get you. I don't know. I totally bought all that stuff. Yeah, all the wolfism stuff was good.
I liked that interaction. It was just really interesting to note, like, how long we were sitting on there when there so much of the frame was, like, complete blackness, but it was, like, blackness that you could see being black, so it was, like, clearly a choice. And just, I don't know, there are plenty of moments in this movie where I was like, all right, am I a little bit scared, and that's why I'm kind of stepping back and dissociating and observing some of the technical details, or am I just legitimately bored because not much is really happening and they're like hanging out too long.
I was gonna say, hold on, were you scared? Because I wasn't. Were you
no,
scared?
No. There were moments of like tenseness, but I was like, this is. I mean, like the truck was a good tense moment, but I could literally sit there in 3, 2, 1, boom. There's the jump scare. Like it was very obviously telegraphed.
I wasn't scared at all. I could sleep through this movie really easily.
I had a good time. I jumped at a couple of moments in the movie. I thought it was very effective, little horror movie. I mean, no, I wasn't bored. I don't think it. My first viewing, I was just like, what? That's it? It's over?
That's what I thought, too. I thought it moved really fast, and then it was a very simple, like, surface level, like, you know, before I really delved into the trying to figure out what it was about. But it was like, oh, you know, overbearing parents and, you know, blah, you know, Wolfman. Cool.
No, I was ready for this to be over. Like, really? There was, I knew it was over too, because he stood there in the final moments being all pathetic the way he has been the whole movie. And I was like, if she doesn't shoot him, and she did. And I was like, okay, it's done. We're over. It's over.
Yeah.
It's so easy to kill him though. It just takes like, if you can kill him with a single gun blast like that, like earlier, like they stabbed the other one in the back with a fucking kitchen knife. Just like, just, you know, and that does nothing.
Well, because it's, I mean,
I was expecting him to come back up.
If he's like a wolf, like he would be stronger than the average human. It would take a little bit more than just one stabbing, I think, to stop a wild animal.
A rabid animal. Yeah.
Whereas a gunshot directly
from pretty close range. Yeah. That's a high caliber rifle.
Yeah.
But also, like, there are spots that you can get stabbed, but you're not going to immediately die.
Well, he also got stabbed a whole bunch, and that other, he got into a werewolf fight. I mean, there was a werewolf fight.
Yeah, that's true.
They were fucking each other up.
And he ate his own leg off.
That's why I need a gun. Okay.
He's got to be bleeding out.
Yeah, right? He ate his own leg off. What are we talking about? Yeah, no, the dude took some punishment. He was like, you know, like a mini Terminator. Not exactly there, but almost.
He's like a three-legged dog at the end running at you.
I'm sorry. I thought the all four running thing, it was, man, they've just never been able to do that where I've.
No.
Where you can actually see it in the guy form where it looks convincing and it's not just fucking hilarious.
Yeah, you can't.
It looks ridiculous.
You know, it does. If he would have changed into an actual wolf and he had the weird legs and all that, that kind of run looks a little bit better in that like body shape. But whenever you put a man down on the ground, we're all long and we're not designed to be down on our hands like that. It just doesn't look right.
It doesn't.
Even when Andy Serkis does it, it just does not look right.
Wait, what are you talking about? Talking about Planet of the Apes? Go fuck yourself. Yeah. Come on. Those are monkeys, Jared. It's different.
I'm sorry. Yeah, you need to watch Better Man and you'll understand what a real monkey looks like on screen.
I've seen Better Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Do you guys think that the time limitation and location limitation in this movie helped it? Like the fact that it essentially became one night and around the farmhouse?
At one point, I was questioning if I had not been paying attention and if there was more time or if this was all one night.
Yeah, I also halfway through, I was like, holy shit, this is all going to be in one night, isn't it? Wow. Okay. All right. I see what you guys are doing.
I don't think the one night helped. The one location I did like. It did kind of give it a nice, like, Night of the Living Dead vibe. It cuts them off, gives them a reason for, like, we can't immediately grab a cell phone and get, like, a million cops or Game and Wildlife out here. Mm-hmm. Having it take place over one night, it shortens the relationships, and you don't get enough time with the characters. It's just constant, like, we're under siege, and we're dealing with our current state and our current problems. You just don't get a lot of backstory.
Yeah, to have as much emphasis as they were clearly attempting to for the transformation of someone you love, like they put that in the fucking trailer.
We don't love these people.
Yeah, like there was something missing for me like the whole time. Like I kept being like, there's some extra layer that I wasn't getting.
Well, especially because what they did give us, the couple of scenes we got before, were not enough for, at least for me, to care about these people. I think that they needed their relationships, all of them, to be transformed, and so I feel satisfied with the way this ended.
We got this man out of our lives. Now we got to figure out how to get
out
of these woods.
I genuinely wanted him to like be a better person and a better husband and a better dad, and I genuinely thought they were going to like fall in love again and be like a stronger family unit, although seeing Wolfman previously, like, I don't know why I thought that, but I did think that he was going to redeem himself, and when I realized that was not going to happen, I was like, yeah, this, This needs to be over.
Yeah, this director writer dude talked so much about, like, we've already seen these characters before. We got to do something new. Cool, but you literally did the exact same thing that every other version of this has done. Mm-hmm. Like, why not redeem the character? Why not have them, like, come out of it or something and realize that they are a changed person from the experience? Why does it always have to end in,
well, this one,
oh,
this
they
one,
become
you,
a wolf.
You don't
and
change back. In a lot of werewolf things, you actually turn back into a person again until it's moved.
Well, we don't know if they don't change back, because the father walked into the woods and then never came back for however much time that was, but maybe he's just, like, still living in his house.
The father's dead, and he's a wolf, and when he died, he was still a wolf lying there.
But I'm saying this only takes place over one night, so we don't actually know, like, was that infamous hiker that they're talking about that had it in the first place.
No way, because he's a wolf, you know, and he gets shot in the morning.
So yeah. There's so much wolf during the day in this. Yeah. There's no transformation. You're coming back and forth with the moon or that. All that lore shit is out. You get this disease, you become this fucking demon thing, and then you are just that.
Infected. They called it infected.
Is there a shot of the moon in the movie?
No. The moon has nothing to do with this werewolf.
Yeah, I actually thought that was weird, because if the infected people don't change back into human,
right,
and they're that prevalent in the woods, wouldn't there be more?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. The end of this movie, when it shows that fucking, like, landscape, and she's standing there with the gun and her daughter, she's got to fight her way out of these fucking wolf-infested woods. There has to be others. It's been fucking years. Like, even if you take this as fucking, like, in 1995, if you say that dad disappeared in 95, he's been out in the woods as Wolfman for that fucking long. There are other Wolfmen out there that mom and daughter are going to have to fight through to get out. That's the next movie, is, you know, they're having to fight to get out of the...
See, that seems way more fucking interesting than this movie was, though.
Well, we had to set this up, you know.
Oh, sure.
We didn't have to set any of that up. We
sounds like there could have been a 10-minute setup.
This is the prologue
to
the next one.
Jesus.
It's not going to happen because of what's the budget happen. And box office?
That'll be a repeat of The Invisible Man, me not being visible, seeing that movie.
Oh, bro, The Invisible Man was great.
That is great.
This movie is such a fucking letdown because of how good that one was.
I'll agree with that,
yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so we didn't talk about this really, but what did you guys think of the wolf makeup, and what did you guys think of that? The transformation that the weird half wolf, half man transformation.
Oh, the actual, like, his little transformation scene of the, I liked most of it. I thought the actual effects were really good. The part I didn't understand was, like, at the end, like, toward the end, he grabs his lower jaw and, like, rips it out.
Yeah, well, you know, you gotta have that, like, underbite wolf thing,
but like
on.
In that shot, like, it looks like it's out and it's gonna be like more like a wolf snout, but then when you see him later in the movie, it's just like he's got
an underbite with teeth
and it's like, but no, you grab that fucking jaw, dude. I saw it.
Were they really restricted by budget on this? Is that why they couldn't hire
well, $25 million? I mean,
I feel like you could have done more with $25 million,
right?
I don't know. I saw several things where he was talking about how they did all the wolf stuff with prosthetics and it's no VFX bullshit. You know, that same stupidness, which is so pointless and frustrating that they shit on those artists. But the fact that they were emphasizing all these prosthetics, like, we created all these different prosthetics and people are either going to, like, love it or they're going to hate it. But hopefully the ones that love it are going to be overjoyed with the look of the new Wolfman.
I don't know. Overjoyed is a strong word, but I think I could tell that they were more practical. I do think that the choices, I questioned some of the choices, but I thought it did look really good for what they did. It looks good.
Yeah, we're just going to have to wait for next year's Robert Eggers movie to actually see a real werewolf on fucking screen.
I mean, maybe.
Oh, like a proper werewolf.
But, like, he also needs to hire writers. Like, I'm tired of these people.
Please, Eggers.
Trying to write
their own things.
We'll have
this discussion in a year.
Oh, my God.
Eggers can do whatever the fuck he wants.
No, he can't.
No,
he can do everything.
He cannot. Yes.
Like, in terms of, like, visually, but he cannot write. No, he can't.
He wrote The Witch. It's okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
He can also do The Werewolf. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Werewolf.
Mm-hmm. 1 out of 5 ain't bad.
Hey, man. You know, like, same thing with Lee Whannell. He did fucking, you know, he did one good movie, and then, you know, the other ones will just be okay.
Stop giving mediocre white men such fucking privilege. Jesus Christ.
You guys can all go fuck yourself. This motherfucker has proven himself time and time again. Like, not only for the studios making fucking money, but come on. Fucking writing Saul, like, straight out of fucking film school. Then going on, not only to co-write most of those, that had to be turned in like, a fucking, like, 3 months' time because those movies were coming out every fucking year. And they wouldn't get the greenlit until they got the box office from the previous fucking week, the opening weekend. I mean, just think about that. Turn around, right? Then he jumps into Insidious, right? Then, he also did, like, Dead Silence. He wrote some other stuff, right? He goes on, and eventually he gets to direct fucking that movie Upgrade, which is a nice throwback little fucking action, 80s action flick. If you haven't seen it, I would highly recommend it. If you like The Invisible Man, you would like it. And The Invisible Man is, fuck it, for a $7 million movie, is fucking incredible. And it's actually saying something, and it's got great characters, and it's like...
And it's fucking scary.
Holy crap.
So what happened
Sorry, are you saying
between
he's
that
too
and
old
this?
To write, or like, what are you
I'm
trying,
saying,
what's the point
like,
here?
No, look, everybody's
How do you
allowed,
have that track record, and then you do this shit?
Agreed.
Because we all fuck up sometimes, because making movies is hard. That's why, because like, you know, somebody's going to throw you a fucking 10 balls, you're going to miss one. This is a miss, all right? I'm going to defend this man, all right?
All
right. I appreciate that, but also, like, if this movie was written during COVID, like, 2020, 2021, like, that's a few years worth of time to look at the story and be like, yeah, we still need to tweak. Mm-hmm. We still threw too much against the wall. We still don't quite have the characters down. Like,
well, he wasn't, like, constantly attached. He wrote the script in 2020. Ryan Gosling got involved. Then he was out. Then... One of Ryan Gosling's directors that he worked for, I forget who, I think it was the director that did Blue Valentine.
Yeah.
Whatever. Anyway. So, and then somehow both of them ended up dropping out. And then they had to, like, go back to Lee Whannell and be like, well, can we use your script? How about you direct it? And then they had to go through all that process all over again. And then those fucking writer strikes happened. Followed by, oh, no, wait, it was the actor strike, right? Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
The actors. So, I don't know.
Yeah, making movies is hard. Sometimes you get lightning in a bottle and sometimes you just get burned.
Yeah, but okay, but this is my complaint is the last few movies that we've seen are made well and they would be amazing movies if they took the time to make sure that your absolute foundation, the script, mm-hmm. is good. Mm-hmm. Because they're... I thought this looked fine. I thought this looked good. I thought the acting was fine. Like, there's nothing. My complaint with this is just the script.
Yeah, I think I agree with that.
Yeah, same. Yeah, this was a visually pretty interesting movie. They had a lot of really, really cool things that they did. I even think that most of the directing choices, not most, I'll say many of the directing choices were interesting and well done, but without more foundation of actually giving a shit about the characters and them doing things that, you know, make sense and such and so forth. It's the fucking writing, man. That shit's hard too.
It just, man, I feel bad for Universal with their monster movies. They just can't catch a break. Invisible Man was their only hit. That Tom Cruise, was it The Mummy? That bombed.
Oh, dude, that was...
And
what did you expect? You should have just re-released Brendan Fraser's The Mummy.
I wanted him to.
And that Dracula Untold, that also bombed.
I wanted to like that one so hard. It was not good.
But it's hilarious. You watch both those movies, and like you get to the end of them, and they all set up these like huge universes. Like, this is where the story's going next. Yeah. You're never going to see it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, oh, okay. All right. So now we're like TV. We just canceled after season one.
Well, the other thing that I've really noticed, especially after watching the originals of these monster movies, is that the originals were way more fun. This is just like depressing and maybe scary and sad. And I don't really care to watch. Like, if they do make another movie with the mom and the daughter fighting off the wolfman as they try to return to civilization, like, I'm not going to be super... Okay, that does sound kind of cool. But I'm not going to be super excited for it.
Because... Only to look like
it gets bitten. Right. Yeah, actually, that could be good. There's a lot of cool things you could do with that. But they're not fun. They're just like... it's just, you're just, they kind of put you on edge for an hour and a half and then you're kind of done. And that's not, that doesn't create anything lasting. The reason the originals were something was because they were more interesting. They were more fun. There were other characters. There was a whole world involved. It wasn't just, you know, three people in a house.
Yes, I do love the Siege film with just a couple characters. It would be better if, like, there were... And instead of just stopping and picking up the one guy in the tree stand, if there were, like, a bunch of dudes there, you know, like three or four, and then we could have killed one in the truck and then picked some off in the house. I needed a higher body count for sure.
That wasn't what I meant, yeah. But okay, yes.
Look, Kristen, up that... that's what I'm here for.
It's weird that his buddy, his childhood buddy, was hunting at night.
Wait, what? No, it wasn't at night.
It was
like sundown. It was sundown. They were there at the end of the day. Like, they've clearly been driving for a long time, and that's why he has the whole line of like, "You may not remember, but we don't go out on the mountain after dark." And
it was right at sunset. Yeah,
yeah. That's why he was like, "I'm going to take you there because it's getting dark," and that's the terrible idea.
This is about the time Nosferatu would have appeared from his crypt, Jared.
Correct. Yeah, it's those moments. You're right. Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, it gets so dark so fast in movies, you know?
That's true. I didn't think that he was hunting. I thought that he was guarding the property. Mm,
yeah, no, he was in his...
That's a good read. He's like, this is my driveway.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if motherfucker's dad is out there, like, the next house over.
Yeah. I would like to know more about these wolf people, because they're still pretty human, and so do they, like, would they come into the house and sleep in the bed, for example? Like, I have some questions.
Yeah, is he, like, prowling around the farmhouse because that's his territory, and that's why the original, the one that he met when he was a kid went away, because, like, he was done being messed with?
Like the farmhouse did not look like it had been abandoned.
No, it looked like it was still fairly clean. That's what makes me think that this didn't happen too long ago.
He puts towels on his feet and he walks around and dusts.
God damn it, Mike. His tail swings. He needed a tail.
Exactly.
Are we at ratings? Or has anybody got anything else?
Was there music in this movie?
There was.
Yeah, do you remember that opening, the beginning
really bad
scene?
Bad needle drop.
Wait, what was the bad needle drop? I missed that.
There was a song at the beginning, was there not?
The heavy-handed music during the radio, the ham radio thing where he was talking to the other guy in the mountain was a little bit like, oh, okay, all right, you're going to try and manipulate us with some music in this, huh?
Oh, there wasn't even, okay.
I'm trying to remember. I don't know.
It was that Benjamin Wallfish was the composer. The guy did It, Chapter 1 in Dose.
I mean, I love the opening, you know, like cutting in on the wasp, like, you know, being taken on by all the damn ants with that heavy.
What does that even
music.
Fucking mean?
That was so, that was the worst. I was like, okay, what are we trying to do with this? How's it going to come back? Why are we doing multiple things, attacking one thing? That never came
I'm
back
saying,
in the
I
movie.
I like the sound of it, you know. Well, you know, yeah. you're hearing the wolf's. In enhanced, like, you know, audio
cues.
Just like the fucking spider, you know, we can hear the sound of it moving around. You can hear that.
But that was such a weird way to start the movie. Like, and what was the point of it?
Yeah. What is like a hornet
What's
or a
wasp?
What's
that movie where all the ants kill the scorpion at the beginning?
Oh, 3,000 Miles of Graceland.
Yes.
Oh, let's not compare it to that. That is a trash film. If you have nothing else better to do, I highly recommend getting on YouTube right now and just searching 3,000 Miles of Graceland.
Look,
opening credits. It's one of the best things you'll ever see in your life.
If you need a little, if you need a tiny thrill, and it's a Saturday night, and this is on streaming, watch it. It's somewhat entertaining, but if you're going in expecting, you know, the Invisible Man, you know, it's not going to deliver. It's okay. It's a 5. There's my review, guys.
Whoa, 5.
Wow, okay.
5.
I didn't even know you were, like, wrapping up. I thought you were just, like...
That's some wrapping it up.
Yeah,
yeah. The cinematography looks a little mushy at times in the dark scenes. I don't know. Overall, it's got some cool camera stuff, but you know, it's mediocre at best for me.
Mediocre. All right.
Wow.
When Morton Joe Jared has spoken.
Do what?
I said a Morton Jared has spoken. You know, mediocre. Mad Max Fury Road, you know? No? All right. Anyway. Who's going next?
I didn't have any expectations going to this movie, and I think that may have actually hurt it, because this is one of those, like, seemed like the filmmakers expected everyone to know what the fuck was going on going into it. I thought I was liking the characters. I thought there was some good acting stuff, and that I was like, all right, I can get behind this. Like, we're going to go somewhere. We're going to do something. And then I just spent the rest of the movie not actually feeling any of those things. This movie is severely lacking in some ways that I can't articulate, and maybe that's what bothers me the most about it. Like, it's just missing something. And I hate being that inarticulate about it, because the whole point of thinking about it critically is to say this didn't work or this didn't work, but I can't put my finger on what just did not work about this movie. I didn't love the look of the werewolf, but I didn't really care to love the... I was just, all right, it's a werewolf movie. Cool, let's see what they're going to do with it. I thought the concept of exploring a person you love, a person you know, is deteriorating and becoming something that they can't control, that you don't know anymore, and how do you deal with that, was a really interesting thing to explore that they didn't actually go anywhere with. I felt the implications of it. I felt the start of it, but I don't know if they were just scared to actually do more with it or what. Like, but this movie tries way too many things and unfortunately falls under its own weight because of all those things. And I don't think it really accomplishes much at all. Some of the acting was good. Some of the acting was cheesy. But I think most of that was more directing issues than anything else. It's not great. I'm gonna say it's a 6. Yeah, I'm just going to leave it at that. I don't know what else to say about it. It's a 6.
Wow, 5 and a 6 went higher than Jared.
Yeah, I'm surprised by that. Oh, I guess I'll go. Okay, so I went in with no expectations and I was still disappointed. This is not a great movie, which is disappointing because it could at least be entertaining, and it's not. I didn't really care about any of the characters, and I didn't care about any of the wolves. I wasn't really rooting for anything to happen. I did think the most interesting part of the film were the body changes as he turned into a kind of a wolf, and I appreciated the fingernails in this one as compared to Nosferatu. That's the best that I can say about this. I would not put it on if you have nothing else to do on a Saturday night with your date. That's a bad idea, I guess. I mean, I was going to give it a 5, but I don't even know that this would be that average. So I guess I'm going to come in with a 4. It's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. I didn't hate myself while I was watching it, so I will leave it at a 4 instead of going lower.
Wow.
I guess the most enjoyable part of the movie was like trying to figure out like what exactly is wrong with the writer, I guess, / director, to make him write this movie and think it's a good idea to produce it and have the whole world know that these are his mental issues. That was the most enjoyable part for me, which is funny because I kept trying to be like, no, this isn't that deep. This isn't that deep, except I think it was. I think it was. If we are going to tie this back to dementia and watching a loved one change and how to take care of them, I think that could have been interesting. That was totally lost. Please don't shoot your family members with dementia. Like, I don't know what the goal is here with that.
Yeah, so I'm gonna give it a 4.
Wow, we got 4, 5, and a 6. Wow, we're just going
give us
all
that
over
10,
the middle.
Brian.
I don't know. Listening to you guys talk about the ratings here, it made me realize I don't think white people like werewolf movies. You know. I don't know how it is for the rest of America, but when I went to go see this in theaters, I was always the only white person. I was, you know, and I'm just, maybe white people don't like werewolf films. So if you're listening, please find a white person next to you and take them to a werewolf movie. And when they start bitching about it, just look at them and be like, hey, you had a good time, right? You were scared. It was a beast. Everyone's scared of wolves, right? Everybody runs from a wolf, you know? We're all terrified, and we had some good memories here. Yes, maybe they were shitty, hollow memories of David Cronenberg's The Fly and George Romero's Night of the Living Dead, but that's okay, all right? Because those are still memories. Look, it's not terrible. It's not. I mean, I think my biggest complaint as an audience member is that it's fucking short, and the second half, the story didn't go anywhere. Because it flips to the mom, and we haven't established her, and we haven't followed her and the daughter in any way, shape, or form up until that point. And when we switch, it's just like, I have nothing with these two. Because they have no relationship, and that's where it falls apart. And if I'm not being satisfied on an emotional level, then I need to be satisfied on a kill count level, and we're not given that either. So... I understand, but man, the first hour does move so fucking goddamn quick. In fact, all the way up until Dad Werewolf dies, the original werewolf that, you know, I guess Granddad Werewolf. I mean, I'm kind of cool with the movie up until that point, you know, it's after that. It just moves so fast, and it does have some jump scares, and... It is kind of a shame that the body horror stuff doesn't work as much, because it is a cool idea. I mean, it is David Cronenberg's The Fly, but it's a cool idea. It's just it just doesn't really fit in with the Siege movie, or maybe it's just not handled well. I don't know. The writing's bad. What are you gonna do? Because of the writing and because of that little girl and her goddamn stupid voice, I'm gonna give it an 8.
Wow.
Compared to The Invisible Man, it's a serious misstep for 1L. Compared to The Mummy, well, that might have been a wreck of a movie, but at least it was occasionally fun. Rotten Tomatoes brings Wolfman in with a 52% tomato meter and a 57% popcorn meter.
All right.
What are you going to
do?
Just
let it breathe.
What are you going to do? Hopefully our Frankenstein movies will be good.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah, we'll see how that goes. I'm also looking forward to the new Mummy with Brendan Fraser.
I'm sorry, what?
Are they re-releasing it like I suggested?
No, I think they're going to try to do another one with him. He is open to the suggestion.
Of course he is.
There is no fucking way. What are they going to do, like CGI his fucking body like fucking they did for Harrison
Ford? He's
the
new Winston. No. let him go down in a blaze of glory.
Is he in his 60s now?
It doesn't matter, man. Fucking Tom Cruise is in his 60s.
Old, is he?
Yeah, but Tom Cruise has been sprinting through movies for his entire life.
Yeah, and he's got a death wish, clearly. I mean, he's just like, I am dying on a film set, motherfuckers.
Yeah. If my death is not captured on celluloid, what's the point of me going?
I know. If he gets a terminal disease, he's going to, like, I swear to God, he's going to film it every day, and we're going to watch the movie. It's going to be terrible.
Brendan Fraser may star in new Mummy movie, The Mummy 4, The Pharaoh's Curse, alongside Rachel Weisz. Movie is expected to be released in late 2025. I don't believe this at all.
Expected
to be released.
Director
Lee Cronin also directed The Evil Dead Rise.
Atomic
Monster released by New Line Cinema.
All right.
I mean, if Rachel Weisz is coming back, then like I'll definitely see it for her, if nothing else.
I fucking hope so.
Her not being in the third Mummy movie was the worst part of that movie.
Yes.
Yeah. There's other terrible parts of that movie, but that was the worst part of it, was Maria Bello just trying to be her, not even like a different character of some sort. Like, they could have just written her out. Why do you need...
Yeah, how do you make Jet Li boring? That's that movie's biggest fucking crime.
Yeah.
How do you fuck that up? Motherfucker knows Kung Fu and is a badass in every film, and they made him boring.
Yes. Yeah.
How do you do that?
All right. So
it's
with that,
impressive, actually.
You've been listening to the Movie Crew Podcast. If you want to get in touch with us, you can do so by sending us an email to moviecrewpod@gmail.com. You can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram at Movie Crew Pod. Jared, where can the audience find you?
You can find me on Instagram at Check the Gate.
Griggs, where can they find you?
I'm on Instagram at Griggsy Media. That's G-R-I-G-G-S-Y Media.
And Kristen, where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram at Kristen Magdalene. That's Kristen with a K and an I.
And you can find me on Twitter or fucking X or whatever fucking Elon Musk is going to call it at Elkins Edits. And we're going to close out the show tonight with a little bit of the, we're going to do the main theme from Wolfman. It's from composer Benjamin Wolfish. Enjoy. Wolfish.